from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning, happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. How are you doing today?
I'm free.
Yes,
free.
You that's are. What I know you've been looking forward to today.
Today has been the day, and it has the nerve and the audacity to be 66 degrees, to be the high, the sun is shining, and I can't wait to just get out and about. And oh, and by the way, I do have tabs on the back. That's right. My vehicle has tabs, everybody. So don't
this
text in.
This is breaking
in.
News.
This is breaking news. Don't text in again and say, gee, you don't have. Yes, I do. I have tabs.
How does it feel?
It feels
good.
It feels same. Nothing different. That's all I'm saying.
Gee, I'm impressed. What was the breakthrough?
Okay. That's why you're so good at your job. Here's what happened. My son's tabs were due.
Oh.
And I went to go and get, order his tabs. And then I was like, you know what? And I ended up calling in and I got my tabs.
Look at you. That's awesome.
I felt like a grown up.
No longer a scofflaw. I'm proud.
That's right. All right. Let's get to it. Ursula's top five news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
And just when you thought it couldn't get worse, we are now learning that more than $1 billion that should have gone to unemployed workers in Washington may have gone to scammers instead. That is the shocking conclusion of a newly released audit of the State Employment Security Department. Earlier estimates had the number pegged at $650 million, which was bad enough, but the state auditor is now looking at more than $450 million in payments that are being called questionable. This man's account was among those taken over by the crooks, and he tells Cairo 7 TV he is frustrated about what happened and he can't believe no one's been held accountable.
Governor Inslee was the CEO of the state when this all happened, and he needs to be held accountable for that.
And that person's right. This is all on Governor Jay Inslee. And here's why. Nobody has been held accountable for this. As a matter of fact, the person that was in charge got promoted up out of here to be a part of our federal administration. This is a continued slap in the face. You know, just recently, Governor Jay Inslee, he took to Twitter and he gave the example. He's been giving examples a lot about football games.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, he says it's like a football game when he's talking about the reason for the rollback, if you will, right? The rollback from phase three to phase two that Pierce County and a couple other counties are going to have to go through. He says, it's like a football game. We have done 95 yards on a 99-yard drive. We can't let up now. These are not punitive actions. They are to save lives and protect public health. Okay. I'm going to use your words that you use with public health. Where is the accountability? Where is the rollback? Where is the answers to the questions that we all have been having about this? And if Susie does not answer, then Governor Jay Inslee, you should be answering for this.
100% agree. Instead of answering for it, he has always been an apologist for what happened. I will point out that ESD says this new number over $1 billion, they are calling it a gross misrepresentation of what may be going on. But here's another problem. When the state auditor said she was going to be doing this audit, do you remember that ESD was kind of reluctant? They have not been transparent through this. So that's one of the problems. Another problem is, so there were things that were not in place because this was unprecedented and a lot of people needed a lot of help all at once. And so they really had to ramp up and they didn't see. Why were these safeguards not in place beforehand? Every single state agency needs to have updated software, whatever it is, that would keep this kind of thing from happening. So I still don't understand, even after reading all this, what's being done to prevent this in the future? ESD needs to really come out ahead and now say, look, this was a screw up, but this is what we're doing to prevent it in the future. And I've yet to hear that. I've yet to even understand fully how did it happen.
And I think we're talking about it now is because we just keep, the more we find out more information, like, hey, yeah, it's bad. Yeah, it's even worse than you thought. No, no, no. It's even worse than you thought. It's like, so every time we talk about this, we are re-talking about the situation that that the state has gone through, but just finding out more and more and more and just how bad it is. And so, again, like you're saying, we're talking about this now. The question is going to remain, how can this not, will this happen again?
Yeah.
Do we know that it won't happen again?
And I think it should be a word of warning for every other state agency, city agency, everyone who has a lot of money and is vulnerable to this kind of scam. I mean, everyone should be looking at their own situation and make sure that they're foolproof. The other thing, though, G, is more than $1 billion. Let's say even if it's close to that, maybe take off that third, even if it was still at $650 million.
Right.
How much did Pierce County just say, you know, now that they've had to roll back to phase two, the county council came up with what,
$4 million
for the next 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. Think of what these hundreds of millions of dollars could have done to help the businesses, to help those that have gone under. That's the thing that is just appalling. Tomorrow is Vax Day. Gee, that's when everyone over the age of 16 is eligible to get a COVID shot. But this pause of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is making that a little more challenging. Snohomish County Health Department Director Dr. Chris Spitter says people are going to have to be patient.
It's going to take about 10 to 12 weeks for us to reach the 650,000 eligible adults in Washington or in Snohomish County.
Okay, and again, so another 3 months, he's trying to make sure you realize it's not going to happen overnight, even when everything is open to people over the age of 16. A couple of other snafus in Seattle, 1,200 people were shocked when their vaccine appointments at Lumen Field were suddenly canceled yesterday. Apparently that had nothing to do with Johnson & Johnson. It was because people booked the appointments using links that were actually meant just for clinic volunteers. So now if you have an appointment to get a J&J shot, the health department says your provider should reach out to you to reschedule or switch the vaccines. And if you're in Seattle, the mayor is still trying to assure everybody that your appointment still stands. You'll just get the Pfizer vaccine now.
There hasn't been really a great job when it comes to the vaccination rollout. Now, I know we got a little pause going on with Johnson & Johnson, Ursula, but I'd venture to say that there's been kind of some disappointed unpreparedness when it comes to this. And I do understand. I do have to have a little leeway because it's not like a popular thing to do. This is kind of like, you know, this is a big deal during this global pandemic. But the rollout has just, it just hasn't been that great. You heard, of course, Pierce County and how they were shorted. They were 5% under the state average when it comes to the allotment of vaccines. It's been kind of a nightmare. Now, the one thing that probably is going to help out and maybe not be as bad as it might say so far is with the estimation of the 12 weeks. It might not be that, because if there's one thing that we have learned during this process, which I do think there needs to be more of it, there's been a slowness, if you will, to people to go and get these vaccines. That's what's been happening. And I hope that doesn't continue, but that's been one of the reasons why there's some people have been able to get vaccinated, because there's been some hesitancy when it comes to being vaccinated.
Wait. So I'm trying to understand. So you're saying that you think that still vaccine hesitancy is a reason why many people haven't done it, or because
No.
Most of the people I've heard from are, I can't get an appointment. And so
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it's like, okay, so this whole, the possibility of there being 12 weeks, like it might be longer than we might think. I'm saying that maybe that won't end up being the case, because what we have learned so far during this time is that some people have been hesitant, and that has been the reason why some have been able to get them. I know that you know people, and I know people that were trying to get a vaccine and it was tough for them. Yes, I get that. I'm saying vaccine hesitancy has been an issue as well.
Well, and one of the things that you shared during our morning meeting is that you initially were one of those that you were saying, I will happily be at the back of the line. And then you've changed your mind.
Yeah, I've changed my mind on that because, well, first of all, just getting done with COVID, right? And it really kind of makes you put things in perspective. Yeah, I was on the air every day. Yes, I worked out every day. No, I didn't miss a beat. I'm laughing. I'm doing all of those things. But the truth of the matter is I can't lie to you guys. Late at night, I still get on the internet and check things out. And if there's a look cough a little longer or that I feel something in my chest, you start to worry a little bit because you hear stories. You've learned of stories where you're not always out of the woods with this thing. COVID acts in a different way. I mean, like everybody in my household tested negative, right? Like everybody tested negative. And then there's just like part of me, like I tested positive, but yet my significant other, she missed a total of 12 working days.
And she was not positive.
She was negative, but she still had to miss 12 working days because of exposure. And so there's so much that goes into when folks have COVID. And I consider us to be lucky. And what I mean by lucky is I was fortunate enough to still be able to work. I was fortunate enough to still have my health. And everything was kind of great. But still, there was still an inconvenience that I caused others inside of this home.
Mm-hmm. So given what you know, though, and now you do have both vaccines, and I know today is your day to get out. Would you?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Would you have any hesitancy now knowing? I mean,
no. I would not have hesitancy getting the vaccine. And I really hope that nobody else does.
With the stroke of the governor's pen, 15 people are going to be released from prison thanks to that recent state Supreme Court ruling. The high court's decision struck down Washington's decades-old drug possession law as unconstitutional. You remember that ruling now has cities and counties all over the state scrambling to deal with the consequences. And this was new to me. The State Superior Court Judges Association has now asked state lawmakers for nearly $80 million to handle the workload.
You know, what gets in the news often is whenever someone with a drug offense or a bunch of people with drug offenses in jail are released. But you never hear about those that are part of white collar crimes and embezzlements and people's money being lost and stolen and parts of Ponzi schemes. How about when those early releases happen? Those don't hit the news. So it's sometimes who gets let out of jail and what those offenses were really are what captures everything. So in this, I can't say that I know every single case of this, but as long as these individuals that are getting out aren't attributing to violence or anything like that, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, when I read this headline, I was just, wasn't there going to be some kind of urgency to try to make this simple correction to what the high court did? Yeah. I thought there was going to be some simple correction so that they wouldn't have to deal with the potentially thousands of inmates being released as a result of this decision. Mm-hmm. But so far I have heard of nothing being done to try to make that correction. And so, I mean, I'm not celebrating the idea that there are going to be people released. But again, I don't know enough of what happened in each individual case. But the idea that this decision might now require, you know, $80 million just to handle the workload on the court level. And as you know, courts right now are not even operating full time because of COVID. It just sounds like a big fat mess. It is official now. A former U.S. attorney for Western Washington has been hired to do that fact-finding mission on Pierce County Sheriff Ed Troyer. The county council wants Brian Moran to look into Troyer's encounter with a black newspaper carrier in January that led to this 911 call.
About two blocks from my house, and I caught some in my driveway who just threatened to kill me, and they blocked him in. He's here right now. He's in some sort of gray car, and he was in my driveway, in my neighbor's driveway. And he knows who I am, and he threatened to kill me, and I got him blocked in. I really need just one or two people here first.
Absolutely. I'm getting the call right now.
Hang on. He's not going to let me leave.
Okay. Does he have a gun or anything?
I have no idea. He looks homeless. Flat. I'd be polite to him, and he just says I'm a racist and wants to kill me.
The delivery driver denied ever making a threat when the officer, Tacoma police officer, came to the scene. Troyer told him, allegedly, that there was no threat, but Ed Troyer now says that the officer mistook the report, and Ed Troyer says that he did not believe that he violated department policy or any laws and welcomes this investigation, but the investigation will be looking into all of that.
Yes, and the one thing about this investigation and what they're going to look for that really stands out is this, is now they get to do a deeper dive into those that responded, right? They need to really dig into what did they see? What was their assessment of what happened, what went on? And so when you start having to be under oath to do that, this we ain't talking about opinions no more. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's real easy for people to have opinions and think this and think that. It's a whole different game when you got to be under oath and you got to be disposed and tell those things. So, Ursula, I have confidence that whatever they find in the investigation, I have confidence in that investigation because I feel like it's going to be thoroughly done. And I think that whatever the findings are, then we have to respect those findings and go forward.
The interesting question will be, so they do the investigation, they have these findings, but this is an elected position. So then what? So then what happens? Right? I mean, is it basically you try to force someone to resign, or if it comes back? My question is, could this all have been avoided?
Yes. Oh, I'm glad you asked me that. Yes. This could have been avoided. This could have been, and here's how it could have been avoided. When this came out, and by the way, the Gene Ursula Show never once said that Ed Troyer was racist. Just want to be clear.
In fact, I do not know him to be racist. I don't think he is racist.
And I said, I didn't bring up color in this. I was talking about the, was it or was it not a threat on his life? But you ask if this could have been fixed, it could have been fixed right away. All Ed Troyer had to do was say, hey, you know what? I got it. It was emotions. I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. He could have come right out and done that right away.
Yeah. I want to do better. I want to listen, which I know he's saying now.
He's saying that in his... one more thing, Ursula. He writes in his op-ed how he's listening now and how he met with these leaders. Why didn't you say that in the beginning? So wait, you say... One way you say that people are trying to attack you, but the next minute in the op-ed, you say that you're listening. Something's not consistent.
Okay, still ahead. If you have a senior in high school, they may be getting more college rejections this year. We'll talk about that next. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show on Cairo Radio. Coming up at 10 o'clock, we are planning to do a deep dive into that case involving the now former Minnesota police officer. But since it is breaking news, I just wanted to get a quick take from you, hearing Heather's breaking news announcement that she is now facing a second degree manslaughter charge.
Change is inevitable. My father used to always say, you can't stop change, right? And that's what's we are seeing. Things today are better than they were yesterday. Yes, I would love to see unarmed black men not being killed on video. I would love for that day to stop. And I do hope for a better world where it does stop. But what you've seen the video happened, I think. When did we all first see it? Was it Sunday?
It was Monday.
So we saw it on Monday. Happened on Sunday, right? Today's Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm shocked at the speed.
I am too. And so that's what I'm saying. So my reaction is you can't stop change. Like, it is a new day going forward. Change, there's uncomfortable, there's conversations, and everybody's talking, but this stuff is not going to be tolerated. And so that was fast. I'm shocked. Today's Wednesday, happened on Sunday, and the cop resigned. The cop has now been charged. That fast.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Basically the same. And I think that she did herself in because of how she reacted after she fired that shot. And it was all on video.
Yeah.
But anyway, we want to talk because there's much more. We got an email that, I'll be honest, got you really upset, and I want to share it. So we're going to talk about that more at 10 o'clock. But right now, this is something that is happening to many, many families. And you know how I love to be on TikTok, G.
Yeah.
So all over TikTok, people are showing their big surprise reveals of whether they got into their college of choice. And one thing that struck me while looking at it, this one thing that hasn't changed, even in the pandemic, is that many students, some of these students that are just the real high-performing students, they're applying to like 15 colleges. So, you know, and they're like, well, I got accepted here, 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 here. Well, you know what's happening? There are a lot of high school seniors that are getting rejected from way more schools this year than they were from pre-pandemic. So I don't think it's only just because there are some people who are just, some students who are applying to more colleges than ever, but many universities have changed their application requirements. So students now don't need to submit ACT or SAT scores. But that has actually led to a flood of applications at these universities that many students used to think were out of reach for them.
Yeah. Wow is all I can say. And
can I just ask? I mean, if you are a parent, and I'll say there are a couple things that I have learned. Okay, again, I have two students. With our first, I encouraged him to not worry about the application fee. There's an application fee. And I said, you know, you have worked really, really, really hard. You can, you know, apply to the colleges. I think he applied to like 9, which is still too many. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and there are some that students apply to that know they're never going to go there. They never have an intention of going. They just want to see if they can get in so that they can post it on TikTok. Right. So we need to move away from that. Secondly, now without the test scores, I love that is opening up. But again, it's unfortunate now that people who should be allowed in some of these universities are getting squeezed out. Now it seems to be not working in their favor to remove the ACT or SAT scores.
Well, one thing we've learned about the system, right? The system has always thrived on somebody being squeezed out, right? That's always been, there's always been somebody that has been, quote, unfairly squeezed out. Now, when it comes to what's going on today, yes, it's unfortunate for some families who get the no. I'm going to be empathetic towards that. But at the same time, I hope that there's one thing that can come post-pandemic as we get through this, is can we start talking more about trade schools? Mm-hmm. Can we start driving people towards that? And also, can employers...
Community college, too, by the way.
Community college, also. And can employers... Can you guys do me a favor? Can you stop taking those big-time universities just because it says The Ohio State University or it says USC... All of these.
You can say UCLA.
UCLA. Can we stop putting those resumes at the top of the pile? Because why would you put USC on top of the community college if it's an education? Let's quit putting the, if you will, the added value to the prestige of these educations or the different types of educations. And so if we can start doing better with the employer recognizing that, we can start doing better with kids going to trade schools and actually going to do something instead of going to college just for the experience.
You make an excellent point. Can I tell you what my UCLA graduate has said? he's in the working world.
What did
he
say?
He said when he's a boss, he is going to be looking for those students who have worked their way through community college and more unconventional routes. He's not going to be looking at the ones with the the prestigious, because you know what he said? Ultimately, you learn so much of what you're going to be doing on the job.
Oh, isn't that something? Isn't that something? Yes, your son is absolutely right. People always ask me, what would I put on my... By the way, I've never had a resume before. I seriously have never had one. But if I did...
Oh, I have.
I'd put I have a PhD. Ursula, did you know I have a PhD?
In life.
Yes, poor, hungry, and determined.
Oh, that's good. That you know what I'm saying? Good.
I got my PhD, baby. Uh-oh. Coming up next, you're not going to believe this. You want to talk about PC, politically correct? Did you know that it is not good to use the word mistress? We discussed that next, and we need to talk. It's Gene Ursula. It is the Gene Ursula Show. Happy Wednesday to all of you. Coming up at 10:06, we discuss further what happened out there in Minnesota. The officer who shot Dante Wright has now resigned. And now we just broke the news, Heather Bosch did, that the officer has been charged with second-degree murder. So we'll be talking about that as well. But right now, Ursula, we need to talk. And what we need to talk about is the word mistress. Now, here's the deal. Now, I know some of you guys heard the show when Dre's and I were talking, and it was not me that used that other word. What are you supposed to call the other woman? Well, you're not supposed to say mistress, and this is according to the AP. This term is not supposed to be used. Now, don't use the term mistress for a woman who is in a long-term sexual relationship with and is financially supported by a man who is married to someone else. Instead, Ursula, you use an alternative like companion, friend, or lover on first reference and provide additional details later. Mm-hmm. Ursula, your thoughts, and do you agree with this?
Well, the thing that I find interesting, mistress has a certain connotation. It's basically, it's a judgment. It's like the mistress. So what is the man in this situation? A philanderer? A fink? No,
sounds so I keep it a buck. It sounds so smooth for the fella.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Philanderer.
Yeah. In a news story, you're never going to use the word philanderer. You're basically going to say man and his mistress.
Oh, that's right. You're giving me the news side of
right?
it. Right.
It's not going to, you're not going to use the word philanderer, but you will use mistress. And so I get it's antiquated. It only basically puts a judgment on the woman. And so again, so we're supposed to use the word lover and companion, and then explain, you know, this person's married.
Okay. Right now. Okay. Let me go back, because you guys were listening to the show when Ursula wasn't here and it was something said.
Sidecar.
The sidecar was
and
said.
I had never even heard of that.
It wasn't really sidecar. Are you just using another thing, or you want me to say what it was?
What was it?
It was side piece.
Side piece.
It was side piece. Now, so check this out. No, I wouldn't have said that on the air. Right now,
That's terrible. That's horrible.
I say a lot of things. Now, but hold on, though. But I want to tell you, I want to admit something to you. Even though I didn't say it, and even though I would not have said it on the air, I'm going to tell you guys, I've said that plenty of times, and I really didn't see a problem with it until after that show. Mm. No, I'm being serious, yeah. Guys. Like, I didn't understand, like, and so that... And then now this mistress thing, I thought, oh, this is dumb. And now I'm learning that's wrong, too. Because you're right, Ursula. If you talk about in a news story, it will be the man and his mistress. Well, what's the man?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's always...
The burden is carried by the woman.
The woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I actually have learned, like, yo, I agree with this right here. I think mistress should not be said anymore, and I think it should be companion, and I agree. Companion? Companion how? Okay, now you get the details.
Yes. Such as been married for, you know, but has had this, you know, companionship for the last whatever years.
So wait a minute, Ursula. Hold on. You've been doing news for 30-some years.
Yeah.
What did you used to always call her?
I don't know.
In your news stories.
To be honest, I don't know that we have had, I think I've referred it to it as, I've never liked the word mistress. So I think, you know, having an affair.
Okay.
I think that's how we've referred to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, how would you say it? The goal of writing a news story is to talk as if you are speaking, right? So it should be how you would say it in conversation. Oh, that's his mistress.
But I would have said, just so you know, Ursula, if I was doing, we were talking about something, or if I was telling you a story, up until about two hours ago, I would have used mistress. Today, only after today, I will never use that word. And if I hear my sons talking about that, I would give them an understanding as to why they shouldn't use that.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's good to think about it. And just because the Associated Press says it, that doesn't mean that. And just for people who don't know, Associated Press is the news organization that's they set some of the standards. They're supposed to be the standard of how we use language in broadcasting.
Chef, what do you think?
And in writing.
I think I've got the word for man. And I think generally we would refer to the man as a player. And it's just another example of how we've idealized male sexual conquest and shamed women for the same behavior. And I'm glad that we're taking steps forward.
Coming up next, we discuss in detail and further what's going on out there in Minnesota and an email that the G and Ursula Show got. It is the G and Ursula Show.